Why should we go to church? Well, Skip Heitzig says because we need to learn to be in the Word while we're here in the world.
Jesus prays, sanctify them by your truth. The word means hagiazo, to consecrate, to be fully devoted to God in the midst of this world. So while you're in the world, the only way you're not going to be like the world is to be in the world, because you are, but in the Word. In the Word and in the world. If you're always in the Word, but you're never in the world, you're not going to do the world any good. But if you're only in the world and never in the Word, you're going to have nothing to share with them.
Make the connection.
Why do you go to the movies, or to a concert, or to a show on Broadway? Because you want to see something, right? You want to see something entertaining and exciting, something that captures your attention and provides you with some fun. Now, why do you want to go to church? Should church provide us with the same elements we find at the movies, or at a show, or should it give us something different? Well, that's what we're exploring today here in The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But before we get to our study, we want to help you study one of the most interesting books in the Bible, the book of Revelation.
There's one very good reason why you should read the book of Revelation.
This is the only book that opens up by saying, read me and you'll be blessed. Blessed means get happy. The more you read this book, the more you understand about Jesus Christ, the more you understand about His plan for your future, the happier that you will be.
You know, that's funny, because happiness isn't something most people associate with the book of Revelation. Well, Skip Heitzig wants to help you change your perspective with his new book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Order You Can Understand the Book of Revelation from The Connection on special for just $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. The Book of Revelation can make you happy. Find out how with Skip's latest book. Available this month for just $12. Call 1-800-922-1888.
Some people want their church to be entertaining, to put on a show to amuse them. And there are some churches out there that provide that. But what did Jesus want the church to be? What did He want to be a part of it? And what did He want people to find when they go there? That's a good question. We'll see if we can't find a good answer in today's study, here in The Connection.
And make the connection.
Open your Bibles to John chapter 17, and as you do so, we'll join Skip Heitzig as he continues this study on what Jesus wants his church to be.
Here's the warning. Don't reduce coming to the church, gathering with the church, don't reduce it to a consumer activity. Realize that the first and great thing we can do is to render glory to God. That's number one. Let's look at number two. I'm going to take you to verse 6. The church should not just reflect the glory of God, it should reveal the truth of God. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. What have they received? The word of God. And have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. The church should reflect the glory of God. The church should reveal the truth of God. Skip, why is it that every time we come to church, it's always the same? I mean, they're singing and preaching. Singing and teaching. Teach, teach, sing, sing. Sing, teach. Every time. Can you ever do something different? How about a puppet show? How about a raffle? How about interpretive dance? Anything. There was a newspaper article. It was a local newspaper article. And it said, here's the title, here's the heading, Church, a Trendy Place for Singles Seeking Dates. I didn't know that. A trendy place for singles seeking dates. Now, the article goes on to give sound advice for those who are single seeking dates. Here's their advice. You got to be subtle. You need to get a feel for the church. Sit in the back for a while. And I'm not implying anything for those sitting in the back. It's just what the article says. The idea is scope it out. Is that what we do? No, that's not what we do. Jesus said these words, go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe whatever I have commanded you. One of the heartaches as a pastor, not here, you are, I think, biblically sound for the most part and very well fed, I believe, because every time we meet, we go through the Word. Every meeting in the church, you have a Bible study. But there is a biblical illiteracy among churches in our nation. A biblical illiteracy. Not even knowing where to find certain books of the Bible. There's some people who still think an epistle is the wife of an apostle. You know, they haven't figured out what that is yet. Purpose one of the church is to worship God. Focus off me. Focus on Him. Purpose number two, it's to learn of Him. It's a training center, so to speak, to learn about Him, that I would learn His attributes, His will, His purpose, His plan. Not only is this what Jesus prayed, but you have to know that that is the pattern followed in the New Testament. Jesus taught it, and the church did exactly what Jesus prayed for. You know, I sometimes have conversations with pastors or theologians, seminary professors, or I read books, and they talk about great movements of church history. And as they look back, sometimes they think we ought to model the church today after that historical model, whether it's the Moravian movement or the Wesleyan movement or the reforms of Martin Luther or John Calvin or whatever it might be. And those are great periods, but they did all have their flaws. I think the only true era, the only true pattern for the church is the biblical pattern. It's the New Testament book of Acts. That happens to be the first church. That happens to be the first Jesus movement in the book of Acts. And I think that that's a book that ought to be studied. And so if you turn to the book of Acts, you discover early on their priorities were the same as Jesus' priorities. Listen to this. It's probably the most famous text of all in the early part, Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves constantly to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayer. And the Lord added daily to the church those who were being saved. What's first on the list? What did they devote themselves constantly to first? What's their number one thing? The apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine. Why is that first on the list? Why isn't love first on the list? Prayer first on the list? Singing? That's not even in the list. Because as you study the Bible, the Word of God tells you how to love, how to pray, how to sing with the right motivation. It tells you everything you need to live a life that is pleasing and glorifying to the Lord. So first on their list was the apostles' doctrine, teaching the Bible. And I believe, based upon Scripture and based upon what I've seen, that churches that don't place the Word of God as a priority become imbalanced and a little spooky. Very confusing. There was a small village that I've told you before in Europe that had, like many European villages, a clock tower in the center of town. Everybody go by daily to see what time it was, hear the chimes, pace their life according to that one clock that was the authority for everybody in the village. As time went on, the glass that protected the hands of the clock broke. Dirt got inside the mechanism. People would walk by and thinking, I don't think that's the right time. That's not what my watch says. I think that's off. I better set it for the rest of the people. So somebody would walk up and reset the time. A couple hours later, somebody else would walk by and go, that can't be the right time. I better set the right time so that everybody else will have the right time. They'd set it differently. As time went on, you can see what would happen. There was absolutely no authority left in the village as to what time it really was. Because everybody was setting it according to how they saw it. How they felt at that moment was the right time. And churches can do that when you take away as the priority the teaching of the Word of God. So, Jesus prayed for it. The early church kept it as a pattern. We see it in Acts chapter 2. They followed it in their missionary endeavors. When Antioch became that great missionary sending place where the church was established, that's where they were first called Christians. Listen to what it says, Acts 11. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. And then listen to what Paul writes to young Timothy, his protege. Preach the word. Not give your opinion, have interpretive dance. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, for a pastor, this is paramount. And everything else, though there are many other things to do, become secondary to this. Did you know that? Again, the book of Acts, chapter 6, is the example. There was a time when a certain group of people felt left out in the church, a certain group of widows, so they came to the apostles. The apostle says, we're not going to leave the word of God and serve tables. You select 7 men to do the business. We'll say amen to it. But we, they said, must continually give ourselves to prayer and to the teaching of the word. I had a pastor call me from Ohio. It was an interesting call. He listened to our radio broadcast. He listened to how we teach through the Bible. And he said, you know, I want to do this. I really want to do this. I want to teach the Bible. I love teaching the Bible, but I'm in a church where I can't. I said, excuse me? You're a pastor. You're in a church. You can't. Whatever you do, don't teach the Bible. I said, tell me how that works. He goes, well, the model that has been set, and I have to confess I've set it, is the seeker model. Very, very short messages based upon felt needs, not going through the Bible, and very, very short. They won't tolerate that. They won't tolerate long preaching. I said, well, it does prove in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine in the last days. But I said, you know what? Do it anyway. Oh, but we'll lose people. Ah, but you know what you'll do? The ones that you keep and gain will grow so deep and so strong, and you'll lay a foundation, and God will add if you honor him. But it was a crisis point in his life, in a church as the pastor, wanting to teach the Bible, unable to do it. How many times in teaching the Bible have I heard people afterwards say, you know, Skip, that's exactly what I needed to hear. In fact, this week I was talking about this with a friend or relative of mine. I had questions, and it's amazing. They're answered tonight. I've even been accused of following people. You followed me. You know where I live. You saw what I did. I go, excuse me? There was a small factory that had a piece of equipment. The machinery broke. They tried to fix the machinery to no avail. They called in an outside expert. He looked it over for 5 minutes, took a little hammer out, went ping, started working. Submitted a bill, $10,000. Factory said, excuse me, could you itemize your bill? He said, sure. It's $1 for hitting it with the hammer. It's $9,999 for knowing precisely where to hit. And have you discovered that the Bible can do that? Have you discovered that the Bible, God knows precisely, like a fine engineer or machinist or surgeon, knows exactly what to say, what to do to get into our hearts? The writer of Hebrews says, the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So, as Jesus prayed for his church, as the early church kept the priorities, glorifying God, worshiping the Lord, and studying the Word. Those are to be our priorities. What will happen if you do that? Go look at verse 13 with me in chapter 17. Verse 13. Oh, let's go back to verse 12. We'll read a few, get good context. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I kept, and none is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Jesus talks to his Father and says, if I'm reading it correct, one of the byproducts of making the Word of God priority is joy. And one of the things I love about you is you love the Bible. It's an odd thing for a visitor to come here. They'll point it out to me. They say, you know, your church clapped at the end of the Bible study tonight. They applauded. What's that all about? They're fanatics. What can I say? And I mentioned this Wednesday, but isn't it funny? We're called fanatics because we clap, we get excited, we have joy in our hearts over the Lord, yet people can go to a baseball game or a football game and throw this little thing around and wear cheese hats and tomahawks and big fingers with one and shout, jump up and down, and they call us fanatics. Spurgeon said, Oh, how happy when our happy God is worshiped by a happy people, a cheerful people. That is in keeping with his nature and his acts. You know why the Bible will produce joy? Because as you read it, you'll discover the plan of God for your life, his purpose, the love of God for you. You'll discover what the future has in store for you. You'll discover what heaven's going to be like. You'll understand the meaning of life. There'll be truth and principles that help you overcome temptation in life. You'll have promises to comfort you, warnings to guard you. David in Psalm 119 said, happy are the people who follow the law of the Lord. Happy are those who obey his decrees and search for him with all their hearts. Make me walk along the path of your commands, for that is where my happiness is found. So, are you following this? If we make our goal self-glory, self-satisfaction, happiness for myself, that's my goal, we never seem to find it. If we make our goal seeking first the kingdom of God, pleasing God, glorifying God by studying what the Word of God says, a byproduct is satisfaction and joy. Tyndale House Publishers put out this little account. 90% of Bible readers feel at peace all or most of the time, compared to 58% who read the Bible less than once a month. 92% of frequent Bible readers report knowing a clear purpose and meaning in life, as compared to 69% of infrequent Bible readers. So it will produce joy. It will do something else. It will produce holiness. It will produce holiness. Go to verse 15. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In other words, though the world is deceptive and pulling on them and powerfully evil, your word, Father, can keep them pure in the midst of it. Pure? Pure, did you say? Who cares anything about being pure anymore? In fact, isn't it just best to go along with the crowd? Everybody's doing it. We want to be like them so they realize we're not so weird. Because you see, if we're weird, if we stick out, they're really not going to listen to what we have. Oh, I disagree. I think when they see you as weird, and they already suspect that you are, when they see you as being different from them and unwilling to compromise in those differences, loving God madly, they wonder, how do they do it? How are they able to be kept through it? Jesus prays, sanctify them by your truth. The word means hagiazo, to consecrate, to be fully devoted to God in the midst of this world. So while you're in the world, the only way you're not going to be like the world is to be in the world, because you are, but in the Word. In the Word and in the world. If you're always in the Word, but you're never in the world, you're not going to do the world any good. But if you're only in the world and never in the Word, you're going to have nothing to share with them. Sanctify them by your Word. David prayed, again, Psalm 119, "Your Word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Folks, that's why we emphasize the Bible in every group that meets here. Whether it's a new believers foundation group or a woman's Bible study or a law enforcement fellowship, always the Bible is taught. It produces joy and it makes us pure. It sanctifies us. That's why Spurgeon was fond of saying, "A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to somebody who's not." And now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, then I'm going to go home and thrash this puppy. By the way, Skip, your Bible looks pretty new. I take care of it. So, last week we discovered what a church is. Tonight, the purpose of the church, part one. Don't let the church become a trendy place for singles seeking dates. Don't let the church become like that gal that I witnessed true from Belarus, cold, unfriendly, irrelevant. The church is us, the people of God, who worship God supremely and study the Word diligently. It's not about us, it's about Him. This sets the pace for the rest of the week. My life is about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Why do you come to church? Because Jesus wants me to. Because I worship my Lord there. Because I find out who He is more and what I can do more and what He does for me more. True story. I've read it on a few occasions. I found it in another source documented this week. I always had my suspicions when I first read it, but then I found its source. It was back east. A young couple had a child, and they had a christening party for their child. It was a party before the child was to be christened at the local church. And people came over. It was a cold, wintry night. The baby was placed on the guest bed in the guest bedroom. People came over. There was a flurry of activity, and a couple of guests, not seeing the baby, flung their coats in the guest room. And then more, and then more. And the next day, true story, as sad as it might seem, the next day, the local paper carried a story of the baby who was smothered to death at his own christening party. Now, can you imagine how gut-wrenching is that? It's all about the baby being christened. The baby has been forgotten about by the guests, and the party went on. I share that with you because church can get that way as well sometimes. Church can become all about my ritual, my ceremony, my religious trapping, my program, and we forget about we're doing this for Him. This is all about Jesus.
It can be easy to get so busy with church that we forget what church is all about. It's good to have programs and services and outreaches and activities and all the rest, but when that becomes what church is all about, then it really isn't church anymore, because it's supposed to be about Jesus. Well, as we take some time to consider what we learned today, I hope you'll also consider sharing what church is all about. And that's Jesus with people in other parts of the world. Now, we're not inviting you to go live the life of a missionary, but we are asking you to help support the international outreach of this ministry. As a member of the Global Connectors, you make it possible for us to share the good news of the gospel in countries from Mongolia to Belize. Plus, each month you're a member, we'll send you a free resource to thank you for your help. Find out more about how you can sign up for the Global Connectors when you call us at 1-800-922-1888 or when you visit connectionradio.org. And that's also how you can get in touch with us for a copy of today's teaching, just in case you'd like to share it with someone or review it again later. Just call 1-800-922-1888. to get a copy for just $6, or write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued support of this ministry.
And make the connection.
Continue to explore what Jesus wants His church to be next time, so I hope you can set aside some time to join us. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.